Well, so do any of you have, like, an official bucket list written down? Oh, yeah. So, like, this is like a list of things you hope to do before you kick the proverbial bucket. Does anyone have a real one written down? Okay, I don't either. It feels a little morbid to me. But I think for all of us, there's stuff that we hope that we accomplish, things that we hope we do before we do kick the bucket, before we do leave this place. There's places we want to go. There's things we want to accomplish. There's stuff we want to earn. There's things we want to see happen in our lives. I think that's true for all of us. Like, if you could go on vacation anywhere this summer, like anywhere, and there wasn't a global pandemic and everything wasn't shut down, where would you go? Grand Valley was the unnamed voice from the front row to this side, for those of you at home. We won't mention who that was. Some of you have better aspirations than Grand Valley, right? Yeah, so there's all sorts of stuff that we want to do. Like, I think it'd be fun. So some of you know that, so I'm a big Batman fan. I like comic books and stuff. Like, I would love to go to a comic con, like a real one. Not like Erie. I've been to Erie. But like New York City, San Diego, like, I think that'd be fun. Like, there's stuff I want to do, and there's stuff I want to experience. Like, if you could earn a degree, or you could start a business, any kind of business, what would you start? If you could go anywhere, learn anything, do anything, live anywhere, what would you do? There's so much that we want to do. But like, when I look at my life and the pace my life is going at, like, I'm going to reach the end before I get most of those things done. Like, before most of those things happen, I'm going to find the end of my rope. The pace of life just seems to be picking up and picking up and picking up. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about intentionally setting a new pace, because with the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, it feels like a lot of our calendars were mostly like wiped clean. Like, a lot of the stuff that filled up our schedules and time just sort of went away. And so we have this kind of opportunity to sort of reevaluate what we got going on and reassess the things that are going on in our life and be intentional about what we put back into them and be intentional about the place we set. So last week, or a couple weeks ago, I should say, we talked about some priorities. And we talked about these, like, we need to set our pace with not just our own wants in mind, but also what God would want for us. And so we talked about making our spiritual lives a priority. And so we talked about, you know, our personal time with the Lord and our personal time with the Word and being devoted to the Word. But we also talked about our time together, and being devoted to the Word together, and what this time means, because there's nothing like this together. And then last week, Pastor Tim shared about making our family a priority, and so he had Dan Hasbrook up here, and Dan shared some really great things about the different things his family has experienced during the pandemic, and how it was a little bit different than maybe he would have thought, and some of us would have thought also. So today, we're going to talk about prioritizing our bucket list, prioritizing all the things that I want to do. Okay, maybe not. Like, that feels a little bit self-serving. I mean, I want to do that stuff. I want that stuff to happen during my lifetime. But if I spend my whole life chasing that stuff, I think it's going to feel a little bit empty in the end. Like, someday, someone is going to sit down in front of a computer, and they're going to write my obituary. And someday, people will be gathered in a sanctuary like this, and they're going to have my funeral. And they're going to tell stories about all the times I went to Comic-Con. Like, I want it to be more than that. Like, I want the things my life to be about more than the places I went and the things I earned and the stuff I did. Like when it gets down to it, when I think about that day, I don't want it to be about those things. I want someone, correction, I want someone's to say, if it wasn't for Matt, I wouldn't know Jesus right now. Like, that's what I want. That's what I wanted to say in my obituary. That's what I want people to come up front in front of a microphone at my funeral and say. I want it to count for that. I don't want my life to be about stuff. I want my life to be about a mission. I want my life to be about a purpose. I want my life to be about doing something. Like, wouldn't it be so awesome that when you leave this place, when you leave this planet, you know there's going to be a train of people following you on the way to Jesus just because you were in their life. That's the good stuff. That's the good stuff that life can be all about. If all that other stuff happens, that's cool. That's great. I'll be really excited about it. But I can't spend my life chasing it. I want to live my life on a mission. And I want my life to be about seeing other people come to Christ. And so mission needs to be one of our priorities when it comes to setting the pace of our life, when it comes to thinking about our schedules and our calendars. So let's take a look at how the early church did this. So if you've got a Bible, I want you to go to Acts 1. We're going to go to Acts 1, and we're going to see kind of where this starts. So if you're at home right now, hopefully you can find a Bible somewhere. If not, Google. So go ahead and search for Acts 1, or pull out your Bible, or pull out your device, and find Acts chapter 1. So where we're at in Acts chapter 1 is, you know, Jesus has had his ministry, he's died on the cross, he's rose again, and he's been appearing to his disciples. More than 500 people saw Jesus resurrected, and now he's getting ready to ascend to heaven. Now they're not going to be able to see him anymore. But there's like one more question and answer time before Jesus goes away. It's almost like he says, hey, listen, you got something to ask. Now's the time. So Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that your Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. All right, so let's break this down a little bit. So someone asked Jesus, hey, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Which, you know, that's a little convoluted to us, but basically what they're saying is, Jesus, when are you going to make everything right again? When are you going to take all the wrongs that exist in the world, and when are you going to make them right? When are you going to let everyone know who you are, that you are the one and only God? So if you're familiar with the Bible, then you know how Jesus typically responds to these kind of questions. Jesus says, well, it's not for you to know the time the Father is set for that. But he doesn't stop there. You see, Jesus' full response is basically, listen, that'll happen at some point. At some point, I will come and all the wrongs will be set right. At some point, I will be lifted up and everyone will know the name of Jesus. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you the power to start making it happen right now. In the meantime, I'm going to leave that to you. In the meantime, I'm going to leave it to you to set the wrong things right. In the meantime, I'm going to leave it to you to make sure everyone knows the name of Jesus. And that word extends to you and me today, because we are living in the meantime. So us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and as witnesses of what we've experienced with Christ. He's given us the responsibility and the task of making the wrong things right and making sure everyone knows who he is. So when those disciples hear that, they're thinking, wow, okay, well, we've got a little bit of work to do. And so maybe they start to think like, okay, so we're going to need some kind of huge platform. Like, we got to make sure everyone knows. And so maybe some think, well, we got to head to Rome and we got to get an audience with Caesar and confront Caesar. Or maybe they're thinking, man, we need to rent out a big space and hang up posters and invite people into it. Maybe. But look at what Jesus says. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, where were they right then? Jerusalem. A few verses up, you can see that they were in Jerusalem. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Huh? We're in Jerusalem. You'll be my witnesses in Judea. Where was Jerusalem at? Huh? Judea. You'll be my witnesses in Samaria. So there's a lot packed into that statement all by itself. But where is Samaria? Right next door. A lot of these disciples would have been from Galilee, and the straightest route home was through Samaria. It was on the way. And then, and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, too. Like, this isn't the typical way we think about this. Like, when we think about outreach and we think about sharing our faith, like, we're thinking about events and we're thinking about trips. And so we think about things like missions trips that take us into other countries. And we think about, like, last year we did 8 Days of Hope Buffalo, and it wasn't another country, it was just New York, right? But it sort of felt like another country. And so we went to Buffalo, and we encountered people, and we blessed people, and we helped people, and we shared the good news of Jesus. So we think about that, or we think about big outreach events like the fish fry and Scent Saturday and coffee at the soccer games. All that stuff's good. But Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Do you see where your feet are right now? Why don't you start there? Why don't you start right where you're standing? Oh, you're going to be going home later? You know, as you're passing through your neighborhood, why don't you take a close look at who the neighbors are? Why don't you notice them? See them not as the way you thought about them, but maybe see them the way I see them, the way Jesus sees them. And maybe you have a message for them." Trips and events, like, all those have their role, and we're going to keep doing them. But you don't need to wait to go anywhere special. You don't need to wait for the next big event to get organized, especially right now when the whole calendar gets wiped clean. It starts right where your feet are. So a few weeks ago, when we were talking about this idea of making mission a priority, we said for the early church, every step was a missions trip. Every single step is a missions trip. So just a couple pages on, you'll find Acts chapter 3. So in Acts chapter 3, we get this pretty amazing story about Peter and John. So like Peter and John, two of the apostles, two of the disciples who were with Jesus. So verse 1 says that they were on their way to the temple to pray. It was the hour of prayer. So this is just like what they did, right? Like, so you guys like, oh, it's 9:30, it's 9:45, I better start heading to the church. I better open up Facebook. I better be on my way. Like, that's what Peter and John are doing. They're just on their way to the temple like they are all the time. So then they come across this beggar. And this beggar is looking for money. This beggar is looking for a handout. Well, they don't have any money. So they wave hello and continue on their way into the temple. No! It's not what they do, because every step was a missions trip. Like, they didn't just see this as an event that they couldn't help. They saw this as an opportunity. So they offer him all they got. And all they got's the gospel. All they got's the good news of Jesus. He gets healed. It attracts a big crowd. People start to clamor in to see what's going on. And Peter and John say, okay, you know what? It's no big deal. Sorry, we got all your attention. We'll be on our way. No! Every step was a mission trip. So with this crowd gathering around, Peter's like, hey, you want to know why this happened? Do you want to know what's really going on here? And so the crowd listened, and such a crowd grew, and they listened so well that it actually got them thrown in jail for the night. And when they got confronted by the authorities, they say, well, listen, we're sorry we caused such a stir, sir. We'll make sure we don't do it again. No! Every step was a mission trip. So in the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter shares the gospel. Eventually, they get cut loose, and they get told, listen, we don't got anything out of you, on you. Get out of here. We're not going to keep you. But listen, don't you dare ever do that again. And so they go back to their friends. They go back to the other disciples. They go back to their church, and they say, man, I tell you what, you wonder where we were last night. We were just sharing the gospel with some people, and they threw us in jail. Jail? They threw you in jail for that? Yeah, jail. And so they sit down to pray, and what do they pray for? They pray, God, will you help us never to be arrested again? No! Every step was a mission trip. They don't pray to avoid that. Instead, they pray that they would be more bold than they were before. Peter and John were just trying to go to church. Every step was a mission trip. And because every step was a mission trip, they saw a beggar not as just an open hand to throw money in. They saw a beggar as someone who desperately needed more than money, someone who needed Jesus. They saw this curiosity of a crowd that was gathering not as overwhelming attention, but they saw it as an open door to share the gospel. They could have said anything right there. They had those people. They could have shared all their thoughts about everything else. They said, there's one thing we want you to know. And it's Jesus. When they get confronted by the authorities, they don't see it as the hammer coming down on them and them getting in trouble. They see it as an audience with people of power. Okay, here are the people in charge, and I've got an opportunity to share this one thing with them. And you know what? Every time they stepped into those opportunities, God did the heavy lifting and capitalized on them. Every time. Like, all they did was say, I'm not going to miss this moment. I'm not going to miss out on this one thing that God's put in front of me. So you flip another few pages, and you get to Acts 6. And in Acts 6, there's this really interesting story about widows and how the widows of the church weren't getting an even share of the food distribution that they had to give out. So the apostles just ask, hey, listen, we're not doing a good job at this. We need some of you guys to step up and take charge of this because no one's in charge of it right now. So sure enough, they get seven guys who take charge of it, and they go out and they give the widows their food. Everyone's fed and everyone's happy. No! Well, yes, like everyone did get food and everyone is happy, but it's more than that. The next verse says that not only do the widows get their food, but the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied. Because they were giving some widows some food? They weren't just handing out food. Every step was a mission trip. So while distributing this food, they most assuredly encountered other people. People who needed food too. People who were around. And they didn't miss those opportunities to share the gospel. They didn't miss those opportunities to say, do you know why we're doing this? Do we know why we're noticing people, widows, people who are often overlooked? Do you know why we're noticing people that aren't noticed by many? It's God loved this widow. God created her. So I will honor that person. These were open doors to sharing the gospel. They were opportunities. Every step along the way was a mission trip. Even when they had a set task at doing something else, they didn't miss the opportunities that came along the way. Friends, we have a mission. Like, as Christians, as the church, this is what we are to be about. And so, like, where is that represented in your schedule? Like, where is that represented in your calendar? So if you were to do a time audit, like if you were to look at your week and like maybe just take every half hour and kind of plot what you were doing, was mission represented anywhere in there? Was outreach, evangelism, and I'm not talking about like, I'm not talking in the simplest ways even. I'm talking like when you were genuinely sharing Jesus with someone. And maybe they didn't drop to their knees and accept him right there in the yard or anything crazy like that, but I want to say you spoke the name of Jesus to someone who didn't know him. Like, unfortunately, this is one of the biggest casualties to our busy schedules, and we get overwhelmed with other stuff going on in our life. We neglect our mission. We neglect our responsibility. But the beauty of it is, because every step is a mission trip, it happens simultaneously with everything else that we do in our life. The mission, outreach, evangelism, it just goes along the way with everything else. You're out in the yard with your family, you see the neighbors, you strike up a conversation, you see where that goes. You're in the store, you run into someone that you haven't seen since high school, and a conversation starts. You follow that along, you intentionally see where that goes. But that key is that we have to be intentional about it. I think we just hope that someone's going to walk up to us and say, "Hey, I heard you go to church. How can I know Jesus?" Whew, I wish that happened a bunch, right? Like, I'd be more excited about going to Walmart if that happened at least every time I went into Walmart. Way more excited about it. But it doesn't. It doesn't. So we got to be intentional about who we are as Christians. And not with an agenda, not to push a position, but to share the love of Jesus. That is our position. It is the love of Jesus. We got to be intentional about it, though. So there's two ways I think we have to be intentional about this. The first is we actually have to prioritize mission, and we have to make time for it. So, like, how many opportunities to share Jesus do you think you missed just because you were too busy? I'm saying for me, it's probably been a bunch. If God were to list them all for me, I'd be more than a little bit ashamed. We're just so busy and so running. How many times have I been too tired to engage someone in a conversation? How many times have I been running on to the next thing that I cut a conversation short? Even if I'd slowed down, I would have seen that that would have been heading to an opportunity. How often have I overlooked someone who is struggling? How often have I just not wanted to engage because I thought it would be awkward? It goes on and on and on. And we're all guilty of it. But wouldn't it be great if when those opportunities came about, just as we are along the way in our life, wouldn't it be great if we weren't feeling pressure to get to the next thing? I think if we figure out the rest of our life, if we've set the pace of our life at an actual manageable pace, then we'll see opportunities are just popping up everywhere along the way. Just because we have the space in our minds to notice them. Too often I'm thinking about the next thing and shuffling on. I miss them. We got to be intentional about creating space. And then when we have space, to seize the opportunities that God brings in front of us. So the second thing is, and this will sound like a contradiction to the first thing, if we're going to be intentional about prioritizing mission, I think it actually does need a slot in our calendar. Like, it needs a set time. I just think this is important enough that we shouldn't leave this up to chance. So there are times when I do get overwhelmed, times when I do get distracted. And we've been doing that all along, right? Like, we've missed opportunities the whole way along because we've been distracted. I think it's important enough that there needs to be a time every week when I say this. If I don't get any other opportunities this week, I know this is an opportunity for me right here every single week. So what does that actually look like? I mean, what does it look like to have? I mean, does it say, well, so every Tuesday at 3, I'm going to go out on the street corner, and I'm going to bring my bullhorn, and we'll see what we can do. Yeah, no, not, probably not. Like, I think it means participating in those events. So earlier I mentioned the fish fry, and some of you have probably been wondering about that. We are looking like ahead to September at being able to do something like that, depending on how the world goes, right? So September is a time when we're looking to have the fish fry. So it means participating in stuff like that, in intentional ways of outreach, and doing things like Scent Saturday when we're able to do those. But I still think it needs to be more regular than that. It can't be on your schedule every 3 months or every 6 months. I actually think it needs to be on a weekly basis. So did you know that in typical times, so not the times we are now, but in typical times, there are 3 ministries that I want to say have a large outreach emphasis and meet at least on a weekly basis in our church. There's T-Free Kids Club, T-Free Youth, and our T-Free Kids Daycare. So every week during the school year, Kids Club and Youth attracts kids whose families aren't a part of our church and aren't a part of any church. Like, participating in those ministries, even in small ways. I mean, like, you don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a leader. But coming and providing a snack, striking up a conversation, you begin to rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus. Like, you could help with something during that time, something so small, like the check-in table for Kids Club or tear down and pick up at youth group and those kinds of things. And you just begin to rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus. And maybe it takes half the school year for a real conversation to happen with a kid or a parent. Trust me, it can take a long time, even when you're being intentional about it. But you are being intentional about reaching out to other people. So the daycare, like 5 days a week, people who don't know Jesus come into this building twice a day. Twice a day. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had someone from our congregation who was here at common pickup and drop-off times just to be a smiling face, to build relationships, to offer prayer? Like, their responsibility wasn't with the kids that would potentially take them from this task, but they would just be there to be Jesus in the lobby when these parents came in. Like, that would be awesome. That could be you. That could be you. That could be your scheduled time for outreach. We need to embody that attitude of the early church. That everything we do is an opportunity. Every step is a mission trip. It needs to become part of our daily routine. It needs to have that slot in our calendar. It needs to become part of our family life. Like, wouldn't it be great for those of you with kids? Like, wouldn't it be great if your kids didn't have to deal with some of the stigmas about outreach and evangelism that you've had to deal with? That would be awesome. We get there. We recognize that every step is a mission trip, and it begins right where your feet are now. So can I get weird with you a little bit? Like, go ahead and look at your feet. Hope you wore nice shoes today. For those of you at home, you might not be wearing any. Those are some nice pink fuzzy slippers. It's like, go ahead and look at your feet. Like, where are they going today? They're here right now, right? Okay. So where are you going after this? Going to a store? Going to a friend's house? You going home, going to spend some time in the yard? Like, who are you going to see? Who are you going to encounter? How about tomorrow? Where are your feet going to go? Going to go to work? Going to go to a doctor's appointment? A restaurant? A graduation party? Out to lunch? Every step that your feet take is a missions trip. This is what Isaiah 52:7 says. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that God of Israel reigns. Let me tell you what. You got some pretty feet. You got some beautiful feet. Beautiful are the feet that bring good news. Beautiful are the feet that carry the message of peace and salvation. So will you make every step a mission trip? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, with the knowledge of what you witnessed, the very next step you take is on the way.